from 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. The crew is all here, and just like that, hour one in the books. I'm looking at Paul Kuharski in Brentwood, Chad Withrow in Mount Juliet, David Reed is the chairman of the board in Nashville. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. For some reason on Skype, and maybe this is why people use Zoom more than Skype, the video of the feed will switch up on me a lot. Has this happened for you guys too? Like, Chad started the show on the top of my screen, and then randomly he moved to the lower third.
No, I've got you. I hit a button that changed it. So now, Hutt, I've got you taking up the whole left side, Chad and David splitting the right side. But my ability to now make my own picture bigger so I could see what you're seeing, now I'm like a tiny postage stamp and I can't make it any bigger.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've got my tiny postage stamp of me over Paul's face directly. And I sent out a picture of that earlier, but it's directly over Paul's face.
You did it on
Reed's
purpose,
in the bottom right, and then Hutton's the entire left side of the screen.
Yeah, so well, that's you can change the views. So I changed it to window view as opposed to float. Now I changed it back to float, and I can move my little icon around. But Schaefer's picture, which is one of the calls, I guess, or the headquartered call, is right over Chad's face. And so I can't see Chad's beautiful face, so I got to get back into window.
This is the new normal.
The new normal. We got to talk
Midday 180 via Skype, and who knows? Maybe eventually we'll move to Zoom. Everybody is using Zoom.
We should try Zoom.
Also, the new normal will be weekly segments with Kirby, where we have a little Kirby show and tell, and he'll tell us some stories.
Sometimes three times a week.
Jonathan Claxton on Twitter tweets us and says, "God, this is the most boring ass bleep I've ever heard. Sorry, but it just is. Sports, please return." First off, that is blasphemous to talk about Kirby that way. Kirby is never boring.
We would have Kirby on the show if sports were happening.
That guy's in the minority.
Yeah, I don't know what sports story you prefer we talk about, but we've got plenty of sports coming up.
We've got Greg Cosell
coming on our show. We've got a number of sports topics we'll have for you. But come on, don't talk about our guy Kirby that way.
You should see the bitmojis that just flooded my text box from Coach Mac during that segment.
Coach Mac,
it's good enough for us.
Coach Mac loved that. I can speak for Coach Mac. I know exactly where he comes down on that.
How are you listening to the show today? You can take a screenshot of the app, the online feed, the radio, whatever it is. You can text it. Tweet it to us at Midday 180. You can tweet us the photo, and you're automatically qualified for the Edley's gift card. We give one away each day. It's not like we're compiling all of these and we give one away a month. Here's today's gift card. I'm showing it to the guys to prove I have it in my hand, the Edley's gift card. For $20, you can use that, Chad. You could use this gift card to purchase the brisket lasagna from Edley's
Barbecue.
I'm not
eligible for the gift card, but I certainly could use it for that. But I will be paying my own hard-earned dollars today at Edley's to get that $20 lasagna that is a take and bake option. If you want to go and get the curbside service from Edley's Barbecue, you can do that. But I do welcome all of our listeners to tweet us a picture and let us know how you're listening, and you can become eligible for that gift card, which is really cool that Edley's is offering that up every day on the show.
The Titans officially announced Vic Beasley to the team yesterday. Paul, your expectation for Beasley, like, where do you set the bar? Is it 8 to 10 quarterback sacks?
You would hope. But, you know, first I need to see, I don't know, when we see what. My expectation first and foremost is effort, and that Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen have a big breakthrough with him where he plays hard all the time.
Yeah.
And
sacks last season.
Yeah. And there was a bit of a transformation after Atlanta changed the way they were coaching. They shifted around some responsibilities on the defensive staff. But they need consistent effort from Vic Beasley. And then, you know, I think they need – I think he and Harold Landry can be coached together on the – listen, we need to vary the moves here, fellas. We, you know, speed first, beat a guy around the edge if you can. But if you can't, we need to see more. And one of you now is a fifth-year player, and one of you now is a third-year player, and it's time to get beyond that and to have some counters. You know, I'm not going to judge a guy strictly on numbers, you know, but it influence plays on a regular basis. That's what the Titans teach, and that's what they urge. And I've met them halfway on that. I think they undervalue sacks. I'm sure I overvalue sacks, but they've got to hit the quarterback more frequently, period. And Beasley needs to be central to that effort. Maybe his role in all of our eyes reduces depending on, you know, if they find somebody in the draft that's going to be a guy you want on the field a ton. Ideally, you would have at least a three-man rotation there. Right now, who's the third? You know, Correa's gone. So is Roberson the third guy right now?
That's who I was going to mention him.
I mean, that sounds good. But last year, Sharif Finch sounded good.
Yep.
And he wound up not on the team in the long run.
Roberson finished the season the same way Sharif Finch finished last season.
Yeah, strong. And, you know, you don't want to say he's the same guy. It's just a cautionary tale.
Right.
You can't pin too much on a raw, unproven, undrafted guy.
Coming up, the best you're going to hear on radio, on TV, nationally, locally, Dr. Bill Schaffner joins us from Vanderbilt University Medical Center. He's joined us a couple of times over the last two or so weeks, and he joins us next where he takes your Twitter questions. If you have questions about COVID-19, how it's impacting locally, nationally, globally, you can ask those questions by using the hashtag Dr. Bill, Dr. Bill, on Twitter. We'll read those questions to him. We have questions of our own ready to go rapid fire with Dr. Bill Schaffner, world-renowned infectious disease expert. He joins us live next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
The official station of Titans football.
Touchdown, Titans!
104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Glad you're with us, and we're glad to be speaking with Dr. Bill Schaffner, infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Doctor, thank you for the time. How are you?
Still vertical, thank you, and hanging in. Thank you very much, and you guys look great also.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Very
We're vertical as well. Good to be able to do this show on a daily basis, no matter the circumstances. Yesterday, Dr. Fauci, who you know well, said to prepare for 100,000 or more deaths nationwide. What is the likelihood that we can reduce that number based on the current mitigation efforts?
Well, if you listen to him carefully, he said that would be the number if we did everything right. That's why it was really powerfully sobering. And if there were anybody out there who hadn't gotten the word, hello, this is serious business.
And then he also went on to say that based on the way that they're getting their data, there is a chance that that number could still go down based on how they're polling everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If we can all do stay at home, keep ourselves separate, wash our hands, be working together on this, perhaps we can diminish that further. We sure like to see that happen.
But if we don't do everything right, and we know, we see pictures still, we hear reports, and we know we're not a great rule-following country, even if the stakes are up and there's non-believers. If we don't do everything right, what's the range we can envision?
Well, they were saying up to 200 or more thousand deaths this season. That's a stupendous number. That's like twice or even three times what a serious influenza season gifts us each year with deaths. So that's very, very important. We might all experience what's happening in New York. We're not there yet, and we don't want to get there.
CNN reported that there are 25 to 50% of those infected. They have no symptoms. And I was thinking back to what we have discussed in the past, Doctor, about, you know, if there's a lack of testing, it's tough to really pinpoint who's asymptomatic walking around. And so how are they getting those numbers determined with the lack of testing that we still have?
They're extrapolating from what they currently have, and we're also looking at our clinical experience. And clearly there are many, many people who have modest symptoms or who may have no symptoms who are still contagious. And that's why they have to participate also for their own benefit and the benefit of everybody around them.
How complex or not complex is a ventilator as a machine? So
it's pretty complex because there are all kinds of feedback mechanisms in it. And so it's not the easiest device. It's not just a water pump. It's more complex than that.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us on the Midday 180. What have you learned in the last couple of weeks about the easiest way for people to become infected and then the most effective ways to avoid that?
Well, the easiest way people become infected is through face-to-face contact within 3 to 6 feet of each other, usually prolonged contact in an enclosed space. And then the second most common way is if you get your hands contaminated and then touch your mouth or your nose or your eyes. That's why you hear the admonitions, the instructions so frequently. Keep away from other people, keep your distance, and constant hand washing. If you haven't washed your hands in the last 10 minutes, do it now.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. Chad, it's time to go to the Twitter questions.
Yeah, and remember, you can just tweet us with the hashtag Dr. Bill to ask your question. Scott on Twitter has this one. I am deemed essential as a semi-parts department worker and delivery driver for the same company. I encounter so many people from all over the country. What can I do to help reduce my risk of COVID-19?
Well, the first thing is keep your hands washed as much as possible. Try to interact with people at a distance. That I'm sure gets difficult. And as the CDC, I think, is going to suggest, if you've got a mask and you're out there doing it, you might want to use that, or something like a scarf or even a bandana might offer some modest protection. Doesn't make you bulletproof.
Yeah, Andrew, there's been increasing conversation about masks, Doctor. Are we headed that direction? And then if the recommendation is that we should wear masks when we're out, we're hearing that there are no masks to be had. Is that going to create another panic as everybody goes scrambling for masks?
I think it'll probably be a soft recommendation, Paul. If you've got something, wear it. And there are a lot of people who have masks in their home. We don't want them to go out and buy it and siphon the masks off the healthcare environment. But then make your own mask. In the New York Times today, they had a pattern about how you can sew your own mask. They're available also on the internet. Scarves, use bandanas and things like that. And then recognize that the benefit is likely to be modest. It's not going to, as I say, make you bulletproof. You're going to have to still keep your distance.
And to just take that a bit further, in the past, you've clarified with one of our Twitter questions that came in about it's not really going to help prevent you from picking up coronavirus if the person infected is not also wearing a mask. Is that correct?
Sure. You know, masks offer modest protection out in the community. You could still pick it up if you were close to someone and you were there and had a prolonged conversation face to face. So it's not perfect. It's just another little thing to do. And, you know, it makes you feel a little better. The rest of us are out there almost as victims. We're waiting for the virus to attack us. Wearing the mask is something that we can do, even if it's modest, to protect ourselves and those around us.
What's it been like to see the scientific community all over the world come together on one specific issue with COVID-19? And are you seeing a level of collaboration on this that maybe you haven't seen in your career up to this point?
Actually, It's always exciting to see the world's public health and scientific community working together. And more or less, similar things have happened with Zika, with Ebola. You know, the scientific community tries to be apolitical. We're just interested in the facts, sharing those facts, and sharing assistance amongst the scientific group to create vaccines and therapies.
Andrew on Twitter asked the question, is there a time frame on when we'll expect to see some results of social distancing? And I'll follow up with that. What have we seen in a state like Washington? And can that provide sort of a blueprint for how things need to go with the rest of the country?
Well, both in Washington and California, we're now seeing a slight downturn in numbers of new cases, giving proof of principle to social distancing. Social distancing takes time to have its effect. So we do the social distancing now, and we expect the impact in about a week to 2 weeks. So there is a bit of delay.
Doctor, we're getting a lot of questions about the disease, the virus being on substances, how long it can stay there. Should you disinfect groceries that you get before you bring them into the house? Should you wash down any packaging if you go and get delivery food? What would your recommendation be? We've asked you before about getting curbside takeout, limiting any interaction with anyone. But in terms of the packaging the food comes in, the packaging your groceries come in, should people take extra precautions with that, or is that overkill?
I don't think it's overkill, but some of us might be more fastidious than others, and there's nothing wrong with doing that if you've got some wipes to do that. But wash your hands. Remember, the virus is not going to jump off the paper bag or the carton and bite you in the ankle. You're going to have to touch it. Oh, touch it. It's now on my hands. If now I do hand hygiene, I interrupt the transmission.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. Rebecca asks, are there any circumstances where separate households could combine? What if both parties isolate for 14 days? Could they then combine on day 15, or would asymptomatic transmission still be a concern?
Great question.
Well, that's an extreme example. If you're both couples are really isolated, or both households are really isolated for 14 days, obviously, they could come together, but I wouldn't want to recommend that as a routine, because the basic principles is stay separate.
Shelby says, my child's school is closed like many, and now we need a babysitter because my wife and I are both working. How do I keep my family safe with someone new in the house?
We have to do the best we can, right? If that person also is a person who does not go out in the community very much, just back and forth from their home to your home, I think you're in pretty good shape, and you would want to make sure that that person understands the principles of hand hygiene. And of course, at the moment that person gets any symptoms, doesn't come into your house. It's going to be a risk. We hope it's a small one.
Josh writes to say, I have regular soap and antibacterial soap. Does it matter which soap I use? Please help explain the difference.
No difference in terms of preventing this virus or killing this virus. Just use either one frequently and enthusiastically.
Is it safe to go to the dentist?
If this is a routine dental visit, postpone it. Dentists are doing that. If it's a necessary visit, that's another matter. The dentist will, and the dental staff will, be using appropriate infection control precautions.
DB on Twitter asks, from a scientific perspective, do you believe that all states and municipalities should be under some form of stay-at-home guidelines?
That would be the best. There's no doubt about it. If anybody out there hasn't gotten the word, they should get the word and stay home starting right now.
You talked last time you were with us, Doctor, about hot zones and zones that were heating up. And I believe you described Nashville and Tennessee as a state and area that was heating up, but not quite hot. When you look at what's going on in New Orleans and Detroit and what's already happened and is happening in New York City, where does Nashville and Tennessee relate to those areas? And if we're going to start to see, and I believe Dr. Fauci said yesterday, in the next 3 days to a week, you should start to see the leveling off in New York City and starting to go back down. With what's going on in New Orleans, how long can we expect to see them continue to rise since it started later?
Well, obviously, if social distancing is rigorously in place in all those communities, and it was a little dicey in the beginning, we would hope to see some leveling off in New York soon and in New Orleans after that. We're still on the upsweep, but as I look out at our community, we've really complied with the stay-at-home guidance very, very well. And so I hope that we've flattened the curve here in Nashville.
Dr. Shafter, is there a reason, a rhyme or reason as to why more men are affected so far by this, by the results we have, than women when it comes to coronavirus?
We're not entirely sure that that sex difference is going to sustain itself in the United States. But certainly there was a big difference in China, and men in China smoke much more than do the women. And we thought that that probably accounted for a lot of that difference there.
I was wondering about kids and bike rides. Obviously, you don't want kids playing together. And I think most of us have forbidden that. If my son were to meet his buddy from up the street, bike ride, they're nowhere near 6 feet around, but if they were to go around the block a couple times, mindful of not crossing paths, what would you think of that, or should I stay away from that too?
Well, that's like going out for a walk, which is a good thing. And people say, yeah, if you're going out for a walk and you want to go out with one partner, good. Try to stay a little bit farther away than you would normally, but keep it to two and make sure your interactions are entirely outside, and you don't start inside somebody's house and have a long conversation close face to face. It's all a matter of degree. Sounds like it might be important for the kids, but even they know how to stay far apart and just come close to each other momentarily.
Are there any numbers that are encouraging to you as you study this for another week since we've last talked?
Yeah, there are some numbers. There's an organization called KIME, which is looking at fever in various locations around the United States. And they can track, for example, the increase with influenza. They are looking at the impact of social distancing, and fever episodes are diminishing in those communities that early on started social distancing. That's really very encouraging.
Dr. Bill Shaffner has been our guest. Let me say this to you. I thought you did a tremendous job of trying to hold in that cough or that sneeze that you had on. Was it CNN? You were trying to hold that in for like 15 seconds, and I could see it, like your eyes started to water. I'm like, oh, he's about to sneeze or cough. You did a great job of trying not to do that. And eventually, I mean, they didn't take you off the screen. That's on them.
Well, that went viral, and that was an allergy sneeze, not a COVID sneeze. I do have seasonal allergy, and I couldn't believe it was coming, and I didn't press my nose or anything. I was hoping it would go away, and then bang, there it was.
Well, I mean, I couldn't tell if it was a cough or a sneeze, Paul, because he held it in to the point where, you know, his mouth really didn't open.
That's impressive, Lou.
It was impressive. He held it for a while.
I've gone down in infamy.
Well, you can always give us a signal and then hit your mute button, and yeah, we'll talk right through. Hey, we look forward to connecting with you again next week, we hope. And again, we really appreciate that you've chosen to be, of all the outlets that you're being with, that you've included us in your loop. It's invaluable and a real gift to our listeners.
It's a great joy for me, too. Glad to be able to be of help. Thanks.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Bill Shaffner has been our guest. More coming on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. A huge thank you to Dr. Bill Shaffner for joining us. Always informative and advancing the conversation on COVID-19 and the pandemic with the latest questions needed to be asked and wanted to be asked by you, our listeners. We had suggestions and questions pour in, so thank you for all the participation. We got to as many questions as we possibly could.
I don't know if you guys were able to watch the White House press briefing yesterday, but it was a very somber and startling when you see that projection, that model that they're using for the first time and them talk about it. And that has been the model that has been dictating a lot of public policy in terms of social distancing and shutting down different businesses that the people in charge have been seeing for a while. One, I think, clarification that I thought was important from Dr. Fauci yesterday during this was they said that this is taking in mind mitigation. So that model of 100,000 minimum deaths, 240,000 maximum, that takes into account the mitigation that's been going on. So someone in the media asked, well, then how are you saying it could be less than 100,000 to Dr. Fauci? And he ran up to the podium and he said, because every day we get new data. This is what the data says today that's been put into this model and this algorithm. But if we start to see things where social distancing is helping, we'll continue to put more data in. And this a week from now, the model could show something different in terms of the projections of those that will die from this, which I thought was an important distinction because I think it's easy to look at that and completely lose hope and think, right, well, it's definitely going to be 100,000 to 240,000 because this is taking in mind mitigation and social distancing and everything else. This isn't just a, if we did nothing, this is what would happen. So I thought that was an important distinction that Dr. Fauci made.
And also, Schaffner picked up on that just now with us and said that that really is a, if we do things right, and we're still not at a point where we're doing everything right. There's still, sadly, we're still seeing pictures of some people who just insist on doing stupid stuff that is not advisable. And so, you know, is the message going to get through to them? I think there's still always going to be a percentage of people who go against this, don't buy it, or feel like it's the unfair intrusion on their freedom or whatever. And that's just to a small degree a part of who we are, that you're not going to get to everybody unless you really get forceful. And I don't know where we'll go in terms of that.
Chad?
So another big thing that happened now last month, by the way, the longest month of March ever, at least in my lifetime, is now ended. But another big thing that happened last month was, of course, the tornado that came through in early March in Nashville. And now that we can see David Reed on screen, I noticed that David Reed has a shirt that says DCA Strong that I'm looking at right now that we'll get a picture of as well. Reed, tell us about that shirt and where the money for that shirt is going.
And the T with a cross. It's a very well done very cool graphic.
So, yeah, we found these early on in the process of the night that everything went down with the tornadoes. DCA, of course, one of the harder hit areas. And that school, it's going to be recovering for a good while now. So they wanted to do a fundraiser in order to in order to raise money to rebuild. And this is what they come up with, the DCA Strong T-shirts. And they have, I believe it's Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 on the back of it. So it took a while to get them because they're when you order them, then that's when they print them and stuff. So it took a while. But we were just kind of that weekend, Lindsay and I were over there working in that neighborhood where DCA is and just kind of felt a kinship to them after all of that and just seeing the destruction over there and just thinking of what it would have been like if that were our school when we were the age, especially the elementary wing that got destroyed, and just trying to help that community get back to normal as soon as possible.
Chad's done a good job here of making sure at least once a week that we remind people about the tornado and not have it just completely disappear in our conversations being about the pandemic and COVID. And it's a healthy thing for us to do. It's a healthy thing for everyone to remember. Restrictions, obviously, on volunteerism in terms of getting together in big groups to work on projects. But we ask everybody to remember, to keep it in mind, to have it on your list, to get back to when you can. And certainly financial tough times for a lot of people. But if you're able, maybe you could translate your planned time that you were going to spend getting out with Hands on Nashville or whoever, and turn that into, you know, whatever kind of small donation you could make to some of those same places that are reeling, but are not in the headlines the way they would have been, because we unfortunately can't cover two stories at the same time as a country, especially when there's a very big one. And I know you guys, I'm trying to scale back on the news a little bit, but there is nothing but coronavirus coverage right now.
Well, and the other thing that we can do, and we talk about a lot with Edley's Barbecue, is everyone's trying to find that right balance now of a stay-at-home order and also supporting your favorite local businesses out there. There are still safe ways to do that. I firmly believe that these companies, these restaurants, people that are still in business with curbside service, that they are doing everything that they can to make sure everything is safe and sanitary, just like they always would. So there are safe ways to help out also. I get that certain people are going to say, you know, I'm not going to get out of my house. And I think that's a very responsible thing also to go do that. But there's gift cards. There are a lot of different ways that you can help. And again, it's not going into a restaurant and being around people. There are still safe ways to help support local business. Our buddy Stephen Godfrey came up with a great way also. We'll talk about that with him tomorrow, where he's raised a bunch of money for local restaurant workers during this time as well. Reed?
So Lindsay and I were out over the weekend up in North Nashville with some tornado relief efforts. And Hands on Nashville especially, everything that's going through them and the other people who are still out there in the field, because there's such a need and a necessity for them out there. They're taking every precaution necessary. They had plenty of gloves for us and masks and limiting the contact between each other and the contact that we have with the people who are needing the relief. And especially that North Nashville area, it's like the rain stopped, and some of those properties and houses up there have not been touched since the rain stopped after the tornado. So for areas like that, I think that there's a big need for people to still be able to go out and help those people who need it. And I hope that once this is all over and done with, that we've made the proper steps in the meantime to go out and help those people as soon as we can. Because North Nashville, man, I'm telling you, it just looks like the tornado happened yesterday in some of those areas.
Sad to hear.
We're going to get the local update from Mayor Cooper. Reed will have that for us, because they have extended the Safer at Home order and threatened to padlock businesses that don't abide by this, that are not essential businesses. We'll give the details on that through Reed coming up at noon today. And we'll hit some headlines. We have Greg Cosell today at 12:15. We'll hear from John Robinson today at 1 o'clock and Mike Vrabel coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. It's on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.